Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And Ed was a little delayed because we're actually doing this via Zoom. We want to welcome you to this program this evening. It's Sunday, August 11th, 2024. And Ed is still in Washington State visiting with his family.
Yes, it's been really nice weather here. It's been like 70s, low 80s.
Nice.
It's very pretty out.
Yeah, it's been very warm here in Virginia. We've had 90s, but it's nice. The humidity's kind of low, so it's kind of different for us. But we want to welcome everybody here. We're here every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on New Vision Radio. And we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here all of these years. And even when Ed and I can't get together, Ray gets us. He gets us on the air. He'll run something that maybe we've run in the past, something that's very old. And it's nice to have him doing all the things that he does for New Visions Radio.
Yes, we couldn't do this without him, that's for sure.
It's very true. And it's really nice to be a part. You know, this is an independent music station, and he puts us right here in the midst of all of these different people. And it's nice that he wants for people to be able to open the Word of God and just know who God and his Son are. So, Ed, could you tell us a little bit about this ministry, Prophecies of Hope?
Yes, we're a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. It's we've been around since 2012, approximately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have our services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is available via Zoom for Bible study / prayer time. And we also have our church service on the Sabbath, or Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30 and our worship hour at 11, which is available, the Bible study via Zoom or live stream. And the worship hour is live stream only.
Yes. And we would love for you to join us if you're ever in the area. You know, we're in Stanton, Virginia, at 1743 West Beverly Street, and we would love for you to pay us a visit. In fact, Ray and his family were coming through months ago, and they stopped in and spent some time with us. It was really a blessing.
Yeah.
And you just pop in. You don't need an invitation. Just pop right in. And if we know you're coming, we'll have a nice fellowship meal ready for you when you get here.
Right.
And so also we have, this is, of course, we're doing this in August 2024, this particular program. And next month in September of 2024, we're going to have a Bible series, and it will be 6 different lectures. And a lot of these lectures you may have heard before if you've tuned in, but we're doing them in a different sequence. And we're going to be talking about things that a lot of ministries, a lot of churches have different views on what the Bible says about these things. And we're going to look strictly from the Bible to see what it says about various topics.
Yeah, one of the reasons we're doing this is some of the new folks that we've come in contact with say these topics are very important for people to know about, even though they're very familiar to us as a ministry. We've talked a lot about them before. People are telling us this is what we need to preach about.
Yeah, and it really is. You know, one of them is the identity of Jesus Christ. You know, it was very important to Jesus what people thought. He even asked his disciples, who are people saying that I am?
Right.
And what was said there, Ed, if you just give people a little taste of that.
Well, this is in Matthew 16, and what Peter speaks up and says, you know, some say that you're John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist had been put to death. Mm-hmm. Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, so Jesus was very interested in people understanding and knowing his identity, who he is. And while many Christians believe they know who Jesus is, a lot of times we find that our church has taught us something different or contrary to what the Bible actually says.
Right.
And we're going to be analyzing that carefully in this Bible series and a number of things we're going to be looking at. So that's just a little taste of some of the things we're going to be talking about. And Ed, is there anything else we need to talk about before we begin this Bible study?
I don't think so.
I think that's it. So, would you mind praying for us?
Sure, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, as we open your word again today, we ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand what we're reading in Matthew chapter 6, specifically the Lord's Prayer, which we've been talking about. Father, may we be able to incorporate these things into our lives, the power of a living Christ. And Father, may you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we talked a lot about the what Jesus said in the prayer, where he talked about "Give us this day our daily bread." And
Yes.
just as a review, just a couple of things we talked about. We went back and we looked at the manna, and then we looked at what Jesus or what was done there with Moses and the Egyptians and the Israelites, how God provided for those who came through the Red Sea. He provided this bread of life. But then you took us to John chapter 6, and can you just give us a summary, maybe
Well,
just a
this is
little?
right.
Go ahead.
This is where Jesus says that I am the bread of life. I am the manna that's come down from heaven. And he talks about what happened in the Old Testament account in Exodus 16 of God providing food in the wilderness for the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And that sustained their lives. And now he's comparing himself to that. He has come to sustain our lives eternally, giving us
Yes.
everlasting life.
And this is, this bread, the bread that they ate, just sustained them for the time being. But like you said, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, sustains us for eternity, gives us
Yes.
eternal life. And so this was just part of the Lord's Prayer. In fact, maybe, Ed, maybe we could just read it again. Just start in Matthew chapter 6.
Sure.
And verse, would you begin there in verse 5 and just read as much as you want? You can read the whole thing, and then we'll back up to where we left off last week.
Sure. This is the modern King James Version, Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your room, and shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, do not babble vain words as the nations, for they think in their much speaking they shall be heard. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Therefore, pray in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay. So do you have any thoughts about this? You know, we right there where it says in I have to learn how to use my mic here at home. It's a little different than the one we have in the studio. But it says here, when I'm looking at this verse, we read in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." That was what we discussed last week. But "and
Right.
forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Do you have any thoughts on this, Ed?
Well, often we concentrate on getting forgiveness for ourselves, but it says, forgive us our debts the same way as we forgive our debtors or those that have harmed us, have hurt us. And it's important to understand that we need to have this attitude of forgiveness to others because we want forgiveness ourselves.
That's right. Yeah,
You
we
know,
do.
there's some texts in the Bible that talk about forgiveness. Maybe we should look at those.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of those. Do you have any just right off the top of your head?
Yeah, well, in my notes,
Okay.
I have notes from studies I've done before. And
Okay.
let's go to Matthew 18.
Yeah,
And
I'm glad you didn't. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
starting in verse 21.
Sure. Matthew 18:21, right?
Yes.
Let's see here. Let me get my. I'm not used to doing this on my computer, and I'm trying to get better at that. Matthew 18. I'm usually a little quicker with my Bible. And verse 21. Did you want to read that, or you want me to read it?
Why don't you start reading that?
Okay. It says here, Matthew 18:21. I'm reading from the New King James. Then Peter came to him, that is, he came to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But when he was not able to pay, his master commanded him that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. You want me to keep going?
Yes, keep going.
Okay, verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him in prison till they should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master that all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until they should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Now, I think we need to talk about this a little bit because when we forgive someone, it doesn't excuse what they've done to us. It
Right.
doesn't minimize or justify what they've done to us. And in some situations where there's abuse that occurs, get out of that situation. It doesn't mean you stay in that situation where there's violence, where there's a potential for real harm to continue to happen. We're not saying stay there, but as you live your life, you need to learn how to forgive that person and don't let that consume your life.
Sure. It's so true. I think too, when we look at this account and we look at the things that happened here, it's easy for us to ask for forgiveness from somebody and want them to forgive us. But when the shoe's on the other foot, sometimes it can be difficult depending on what someone has done to us.
Right.
And the thing is, I've heard this often, Ed. People will say, well, I can forgive, but I won't forget. And that's always bothered me because I think forgiveness is part of forgetting, letting it go. Because if you dwell on it, if you keep it there, have you truly forgiven? That's the question that comes to my mind.
Right. In terms of our relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. They know our hearts. They know what's really in our hearts. And no one else may know what we think or feel, but they do. And when we come to an understanding that we need to repent of sin, those wrong feelings we have, those wrong desires we have, God is very willing to forgive us. And
Yes.
so when someone that's harmed us wants forgiveness, we need to readily forgive them, just as God readily forgives us. And no, it's not always easy. No, it may take some time, but that's what we really should do as Christians.
Amen.
And forgiveness can be difficult, but through the power of living Christ, we can experience that forgiveness that we can give to others, just as God has forgiven us.
Yes, we can. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, if we just look at that for a moment,
All right.
Colossians chapter 1, if it says, actually, if I isolate the verse, if I just isolate the verse, and we can read around it, but in Colossians 1:14, it says, actually, let me read 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we
Yes.
think about the things that we do daily that, or the thoughts that we may have on a daily basis that might be against the will of God. We're sinning, we're trespassing against our Creator. And maybe sometimes we don't even know it. But this shows that God has so much love for us that if we accept the blood of His Son, we can experience this forgiveness that is beyond what anybody can imagine.
The Bible tells us that God desires everyone to be saved.
Yes.
And he desires to give you that forgiveness. Sometimes we call it the grace of God, that forgiveness that we experience through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, through his death. And so God wants everyone to be able to experience that. In
Yes, he
fact,
does.
in 1 John chapter 1, I want to read verses 5 through 9,
Okay.
or maybe through 10. And this is the modern King James Version. And it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." This is the Apostle John talking about his experience with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And this is the message that they've heard from Jesus. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Talking about walking with God, walking in the light that God has given us. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So here we have this great promise of not only forgiveness of sins, but of cleansing us from unrighteousness or that sinful way of living and thinking.
Yes, it's really a beautiful thing, when we think about that. I often think of, to go along with this verse, these verses you read, the 103rd Psalm
Okay.
and Psalm 103. And this whole psalm is really beautiful. That it starts off, if I'm reading this from the modern King James, it says, "Bless Jehovah, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from ruin, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Jehovah works righteousness and judgment for all who are pressed down. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in mercy. He will not always chasten, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, sow his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us.
Wow, what a beautiful promise.
Isn't it? And so if God knows our hearts, and he knows what I'm thinking, and he knows what's in my mind and heart, and he can remove these things from us by the Spirit of his Son dwelling in my heart, and he can forgive us, how much better could it be for us if we could forgive those who have sinned against us?
Right.
Because God, we, like you said just a moment ago, you said, we don't know what's in another's heart. But
yeah.
if they ask us, you know, please forgive me for this thing that I've done, wouldn't it be best for us to grant them that? You know, we can't forgive somebody for their sins, but we can forgive them for what they've done against us individually.
Right. Right.
So as far as the east is from the west, in other words, God forgets about those things. He puts them out of his mind once we have repented and once we've turned away from those things.
You know, that's an important thing to understand about salvation, about God's mercy to us in our lives.
It's so true.
Now, there's
Do you have
another
another verse?
text. Yeah, I do. It's in Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 33. And it goes like this. Let me find the modern King James. It says, he's talking about a covenant. It says,
Okay.
but this shall be the covenant that I will cut with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Jehovah. And this is actually talking about the new covenant. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no more teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know Jehovah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. So again, another promise of forgiveness.
Yes, it is.
Now,
you know, go ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
Some people listening may say, well, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't know what people have done to me. There's no way I can forgive them for what they've done, and they don't deserve forgiveness. You know, this is being real about what some people experience in life. They've had, you know, extensive physical harm, emotional harm done to them. But look at what Jesus did. Let's go to Luke 23.
Okay.
And this is Jesus on the cross. And this is what he says. I'm going to start in verse 32. And it says, and two others, two criminals, were led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Can you imagine that?
It's very hard to imagine. You know, you've been leading a study on Sabbath in the book of Acts, and Stephen said these same words.
Yes, he did.
When he was being stoned to death. And it just makes me think, you know, this was a man, obviously Stephen was a man of God and he wanted to follow Christ. And this is the example that Jesus gave right here.
Right.
This was the example. And really, if we're Christians, if we're called Christians, that identifies us as followers of Jesus Christ. So how do I get here, Ed? You know, this is something that people, I think all of us, you know, I have a hard time in the past. I've had a tremendous hard time with forgiveness sometimes. But how do we get to where we can do this? What do we have to do to get to the point to where I can become more like Christ and that I am willing to forgive? Can you think of anything that could help us in that regard?
Well, for me personally, when I look at things I have done in my life, whether physically, verbally, whatever. And then understanding that I have found forgiveness through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that God forgave me for those things through because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
How can I
That's
excuse my lack of forgiveness to other people? You know, I desire this forgiveness. I should be able to give that same forgiveness to others, just as God has given his forgiveness to me through his Son Jesus Christ. You know, the prophet Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. The reason being is no one would listen to him. He was persecuted by the nation of Israel. He was had all kinds of horrible things done to him. And he has written a book called Lamentations.
Yes.
And in chapter three, he's going over and over again all these things he experienced. And then in verse 21, he says this. You know,
Of
he's
what
talking about
chapter?
all chapter three of Lamentations.
Okay.
And he's going over all these things. No one will listen to me. You know, all these things I experienced. You know, he was put into a pit of mud for 3 days where he was giving molded bread and he was in mud up into his armpits. This is how he was an example of how he was treated. And after recounting all these things he experienced, in verse 21 in the King James Version, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." And God's mercy, God's compassions. It's because of his mercy we're not consumed because of our sinful nature and some of the things that we do in our lives. But his compassions fail not. His mercies are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Each morning we have breath in our bodies. We have this opportunity to experience forgiveness, to experience God's mercy. And just as we experience these things in our own lives, we should be willing to pass them on to others in their lives, in those relationships we have with them.
It's so true. This book of Lamentations, if you back up and read some of the things there in that same chapter, chapter three, some of the things that he had to endure, it's pretty amazing to see. And Lamentations, to people who aren't really familiar with their Bible, and even to some who are, they might say that's a strange name, but it's named after lamenting. If we lament, we're mourning, we're sad, we're crying, we're weeping. And so the book of Lamentations, that's what Jeremiah is doing. And
And again, if you're in a harmful situation, an abusive relationship, whether it's child and parent, husband, wife, or whatever the relationship is, seek help, seek safety. You know, get out of that situation the best you can.
yeah.
God does not want you in that type of situation. And if you've experienced that situation, it may take time to experience healing for yourself and to be able to forgive that other person. But pray about these things. Ask for help from God, and he will guide you through that situation. But, you know,
Amen.
reach out, seek help. Don't stay in that situation.
That's so important. And in fact, part of that healing process is kind of forgiving others for what they've done to you. In other words, if I expect forgiveness, I need to be willing to extend forgiveness. This is what Jesus is pointing out in his prayer. And also what we read there in Matthew chapter 18. This servant that had this debt he was treated justly and with kindness, and then he goes and he wants to demand back what somebody else had done to him. You know, think about the mercy that God has given to you and forgiving me and forgiving us. And then how can we not extend that same loving kindness to someone else? It might be hard. It might be difficult, but you can pray about it, just like you said, Ed.
All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
Sure.
I have different headings in my Bible, and in the King James Version, right before this verse, it says, "Forgive the sinner." And
Okay.
I'm going to switch over to the modern King James, and this is what it says. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 2, "Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you." This is talking about a spiritual conflict in the church. And it says in verse 6, "For such a one, this punishment by the majority of it is enough, so that you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, so that he might be that or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I can't talk. So what's it saying is you've had this conflict in the church, and you've this person that's caused the conflict has experienced the judgment of the church and punishment from the church. But Paul is also saying, now it's time to forgive that person and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So
Right.
there's a place for judgment, for punishment, but there's also a place for forgiveness in terms of talking about things that happen within a church.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, it's unfortunate that sometimes, within a church, sometimes discipline is necessary. You might have somebody that has a particular privilege and they've stepped out of line to where they're not setting a good example for the church, and you just have to say, hey, let's just pull back a little bit. We might not be able to let that person be in front of the congregation, but you don't, like this is saying, you don't want to overly sadden them. Just allow them to be able to think about it and then try to restore that person as soon as possible.
In Mark 11, this goes along with the Sermon on the Mount, things we've been reading in Matthew chapter 5. It says this, Mark 11:25. It says, for some reason, I have the English Standard Version open. It says, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. When you come before God, make sure that you have forgiven your brother or your sister or your fellow worker or a relative, your wife, your child, your mother, your father, your husband, whatever it is. Otherwise, God will not be able to forgive you."
Yeah,
This
read
is what
verse
the Bible
26.
says.
Yeah,
Yeah, can
read
you?
verse 26, Ed.
I don't have that in the English second
Oh, okay.
standard
Well, verse
version.
26 says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses."
Yeah, so it's important for us to have forgiveness, that same forgiveness we want from God. We need to
Yes.
give that forgiveness to others.
And it's nobody's saying that this is easy. You
No,
know, that
not at
it,
all.
it's it, sometimes it might be extremely difficult. You know, I often wonder how Jesus died to forgive all of us. Think about what he went through to grant forgiveness. And wow, I mean, we don't have to do anything like what he did.
Right.
So go ahead.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4.
All right.
And if Mark, if you could read verses 31 and 32 for us.
Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Wow.
The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness, and it's not just us receiving forgiveness, but it's forgiving others. And there's so many verses I have listed down here.
Go ahead, let's go through some of them.
Let's go to Proverbs 17, verse
Okay.
9.
All right.
Proverbs 17, verse 9.
All right, I'm there.
And I don't know what version this is. I don't have it written down, but in my notes it says, if you want people to like you, forgive them when they've wronged you. Remembering wrongs can break up a friendship.
Okay, that sounds like maybe the easy to read
It
Bible.
could be.
Yeah, the New King James says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends."
Yeah,
So,
don't,
go
no.
ahead.
Yeah, don't keep bringing up a wrong that someone's done against you because it's going to destroy your friendship.
Yeah, I have a relative that does that. It's kind of like you would have done something maybe 20 years ago, and it's all in the past, but that person will bring it up over and over and over. And because that's happened to me so many times in my life, when we if Ed, if you and I had a conflict and we said, "Okay, well, you know what? It's done. I'm never going to mention that again." It's not, I
Right.
literally try to put it out of my mind, and God has given me a gift of being able to not think about those things anymore. And really, God promises that He will remove those thoughts from us, that our hearts can be changed through the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us.
Right. I want to go to Luke chapter 17.
Okay.
And I want to read verses 3 and 4.
All right.
And this is the modern King James Version. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, in other words, sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespasses against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turns again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. This is saying it's not just the one time thing that happens. Unfortunately, in this life that we live, we all have to deal with sin within our lives, within ourselves. And sometimes it comes out in our conversations and interactions with others. And if it does, we need to ask for forgiveness. And if someone asks for forgiveness from us, we need to forgive them, even if it
Yes.
happens more than one time a day.
That's so true. And it's hard when it's a repetitive thing. It's very difficult. The text that you opened with in this, I just wanted to comment on that,
Okay.
where Peter had asked, "How many times am I to forgive my brother?"
Yes.
And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times seven." That's 70 times seven. That's 490. And what's interesting to me about that is this: there's a prophecy in the Bible that's 490. That's up 490 years.
Yes.
And we know that that ended at the stoning of Stephen from our studies of the Bible. And so really, when I think about that, when Stephen was being stoned to death, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he actually had looked into the heavens and he saw Jesus standing next to the throne of God, if I remember correctly. That was what he saw. And so really, we are to forgive people until either we expire or Christ comes.
Yeah.
That's how I could look at that. So, it's pretty interesting that there's no limit. As long as somebody's asking, we really should try to forgive.
Yeah, there's an interesting couple of verses in Proverbs 25.
Okay.
And I'm going to be reading from the Modern King James Version again. Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. It says, if your enemy is hungry, of course, an enemy is someone who's done wrong against you, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and Jehovah shall reward you. You know, again, this is an easy thing to do. But
Yeah.
I've seen people do this to others I know they've had more than just a little conflict with, and treating them better than they deserve. And this will have an effect on them and their heart, and hopefully the relationship that you have with them.
Yes. You know that text where it says heap coal it you will heap coals of fire on his head. It
Right.
doesn't mean to make them angry. You know,
Right.
we sometimes we think of that. It's actually for a refining process,
Yes.
right? The Bible speaks a lot about refining, being refined, being renewed. And so really what does those fiery coals when you put them on top of metals when they're being refined, it helps to pull out the impurities. So that's what this is talking about. If you do these things, you can help to pull the impurities out of that person, and they can see Christ in you, and they can be changed as a result.
Right, exactly. Because really, our desire should be for the salvation of everyone around us.
So
And,
true.
you know, of course, that only happens through the Spirit of Christ working in their hearts and minds. But God can use us as an example, as an encouragement to them, as giving them information about salvation by how we interact with them that can make a difference in each one's life that we
It surely
interact
can.
with.
It surely can.
The last set of verses I have is in Isaiah chapter 1.
Okay.
The nation of Israel, their history of the nation of Israel is not a good history because so often they went away from God and worshiping other gods, pagan gods of the nations around them. And in Isaiah chapter 1, God is having a conversation with them, saying, I don't like your sacrifices. I don't want any more sacrifices. They're an abomination to me. Why were they? Because they didn't bring about repentance. They were just something they went through over and over again because this was by habit, yet they were still worshiping other gods. So in verse 16, it says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek judgment, reprove the oppressor, judge the orphan, plead for the widow. They weren't sticking up for those that were in difficult places like the orphan or the widow. They were actually oppressing them. Verse 18 says this, come now, let us reason together, says Jehovah. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. So even though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, because we have this salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We can have forgiveness of sins because of what Christ has done for us.
Yes, that's so true. And it's really beautiful how we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things that I want to make clear here is These are instructions that are given to us by Jesus. He gives us these instructions, but
Right.
we're looking at Old Testament verses, right, that are supporting the very words that Jesus said. So we see this isn't a new idea.
Right.
This isn't a new idea. And this goes all the way back. In fact, this is an account that I think of often when I think about forgiveness. When we go back to Exodus chapter 32, and these people, they kept sinning against God. And what we have here in Exodus chapter 32 is there was a golden calf that these
Yes.
people had set up to worship. And this is really important that people understand this. There is, you and I, we have an imperfect heart, but God has a point. There is always a point. There's going to be a time when there's not going to be room for any more forgiveness. In other words, Christ is going to come back.
Judgment will have occurred, and the reward of that judgment, whether good or evil, will be handed out. Yes.
That's true. And so when we look at this account, I just want to encourage the listener to read Exodus 32, and particularly when you get down to the end of it, God had been working with these people. And it says here in verse 30, "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to Jehovah. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' Then Moses returned to Jehovah and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold.'" God had made it very clear that they weren't supposed to do this. "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin," this is Moses pleading with God. "But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." And Jehovah said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore, go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin." This is a time of judgment, right?
Yes.
And, if we know anything about biblical history, we believe from Bible chronology that we're living very close to the end of this world. We don't know if it's going to come in our lifetime or not, but we need to have our affairs right, not only with
Yes.
God, but with those around us. If somebody has trespassed, this is why Jesus said this prayer. This is why we're looking at this prayer. If somebody's done something against us, are we as willing as Moses was and as Jesus was to give our life for someone who has maybe sinned against us? Moses said, "Blot me out of your book," at one point. Do you remember that, Ed? Moses was willing to lay his life down for the people, just like Jesus did. Are we willing to do that? That's asking a lot.
It is. Just what you just said there reminds me of Romans chapter 5.
Okay, let's go there.
I want to start. This is my favorite section of scripture in the Bible because it has such an impact on my life. And I want to start, read verses 6 through 10.
Sure.
It says, "For we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, when I was without strength, unable to be obedient to God, to keep his commandments, to keep from sinning against God and as well as my fellow man, that's when Christ came and died for me."
Amen.
Verse 7. "For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, from God's judgment, his wrath. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So it's when we were yet sinners, That's when Christ came and died for us. This
Yeah.
is a free gift that God is willing to give to anyone.
Yes, it
It
is.
doesn't matter the condition of our life right now. It's if we want to seek forgiveness, if we want to repent from our sins, turn away from our sins, if we want help and assistance for that, God provides it through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And you know, here's the thing. I can't state this enough. It's like you read there in verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This wasn't to allow us to keep sinning. It was to
No.
allow us to be able to overcome sin.
Yes.
And so just think of
Go
how
ahead.
we feel. We were talking about this earlier, when we've forgiven somebody for what they've done and they continue to do the same thing. And so, how does Christ feel that he gave his life for us if we continue to do those things? It's as if we're crucifying Christ over and over again.
Yeah, to repent means to turn away from sin, not to continue in it. And in verse 10, it talks about, through the death of Christ, we've been reconciled to God. That sin that separated us from God is now gone. And so now we have this relationship with God, the Father of Jesus Christ. But now what? I still have to live my life. I'm still tempted by Satan in this earth. And so we need to be able to deal with that. And so that's why Paul says, having been reconciled by Christ's death, how much more then are we saved by his life, the life that he wants to live within us? The Bible says God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Christ experienced everything we experienced on this earth. He was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. So he has the experience, the knowledge to help us overcome sin in his life because he did the same when he was on this earth.
Amen. And so what an example that is for us. And that's the thing. You read it right there in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. Are we willing to lay our life down like Christ did for us
Yeah.
for another? If we've truly forgiven somebody, if we truly have the love of Christ in our hearts, we are willing to do that. And it's hard to
Yes.
imagine. But there are people that I know and care about that I would be willing to give my life for. Are we willing to do that for a person who just transgressed against us or just did
Right.
something to us?
Yeah.
It would be really difficult.
Yeah. But that's what Christ has done for us. That's this gift. That's this word grace. I found a different definition than what normally you hear from a preacher. According to Strong's, it's talking about this divine influence upon our heart that results in a change in our life. That's what God's grace is. And I need that every day in my life. I need the presence of
Amen.
Christ in my life every day. And he brings us the presence of his Father, the power of God working in us through his Son, Jesus Christ, to overcome sin in our lives and to be able to deal with sin in this world and to be able to deal with relationships with others, which can be di difficult.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's hard to imagine that here in this Bible study, we've just been talking about forgiveness, not just forgiveness to one another, but the forgiveness that Christ gave us, which makes it
Yes.
possible for us to be able to forgive others by the example that he set.
Yes.
So this whole study, we've just been studying about one sentence in the Lord's Prayer,
Yeah.
just a
Let's
few
go.
little words.
Yeah, let's
Go
go
ahead.
back to that.
Okay. Yeah, we have
Instead,
just a few minutes, Ed. So yeah, take us back there,
yeah,
please.
let's go back to Matthew 6. And I'm just going to start in verse 9 again and read through 15.
Okay.
It says, this is the Lord's Prayer. Most of us have heard this, and many people may have this memorized in the King James Version. But this is the modern King James. It says, therefore, pray in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the disciples wanted to know how they should pray. So this is the instruction that God has given to his disciples through his son, Jesus Christ. This is how you're to
Amen.
pray. And it goes on to say in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
So this really shows the importance of not only Christ forgiving us, but
Yes.
if we want that forgiveness, we have to be willing to forgive others for what they've done to us.
Yes.
Much easier said than done
No
unless we
question.
know Christ.
And again, I want to repeat this so no one has any misunderstanding about this. If you're in a difficult situation, if you're in an abusive situation, seek help, seek a way out. Don't stay there. Don't think that forgiveness is staying in that abusive relationship because
That's
that's
right.
not what it's about.
No, it's not.
So I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Ed, because so many times a Christian thinks, well, I have to endure this abuse or this, but don't use it as an excuse to get out of a relationship. But if you're in danger or being hurt, it's a decision you have to make.
Yes. And there
So
are people out there, agencies, churches that can help you in that situation.
amen. And people that know how to deal with that.
Right.
So we're out of time, Ed. This has been a great study. And next week we'll pick up here in the same part of the Lord's Prayer. We'll go to the next section. And
Yes.
so let's have a closing word of prayer, shall we?
Sure.
Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for this study time and Father for helping us to know how and why it's important for us to forgive others. Father, you forgave us, and it's through your Son that we can know who you are and that we can grant this forgiveness to others when they trespass against us. So please help us to think about these things throughout this new week. And Father, we're grateful for every gift you give us. We just pray that you will keep us safe until we come together again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again, Ed. And I'll see you next Sunday right here on New Visions Radio. And
All
friends,
right.
until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.